Thanks for downloading this episode of the John Curley and Sherry Ellicker Show. Emerald Queen Casino, the entertainment capital of the Northwest. The best place to watch all your favorite sports. Featuring wall-to-wall viewing screens, six windows, and 30 kiosks. Be there at emeraldqueen.com.
Here we go with the John Curley, Sherry Ellicker Show, and you coming along with a ride. Much appreciated. This Sherry in here. We'll sing this one together. Sherry, get ready. Here we go.
Hey, little girl, better wear something pretty. Something you wear to go to the city. And dim all the lights, all the wine, start the music. Time to get ready for love.
Not that kind of love, Marin. Human resources. Here we go. Now we go.
I was just dimming the lights. What are you saying? I was going to pour some wine.
Oh. All the lights, pour the wine, start the music. Time to get ready for love. Time to get ready.
Doesn't put me in the mood for time to get talk radio. Ready for
love. No, it doesn't.
I'm going to need a cold shower. Let me dive back in the water again. Dive
okay,
dive
yeah,
in the
better
water.
Do that. I got a dress just that's pretty, and I'm ready for the city.
Okay, stop. So, stop okay. You talking like that. All right, by the way, a number of things going on. One, it's Joe's birthday. It is also, as it works out, yeah, we'll write it. By the way, I said, hey, it's Joe's birthday, and he just sort of seemed sheepishly like, don't make a big deal about it. Of course, nobody did. Nate applauded for about 5 seconds, Joe and Mama. Then Ursula came over with a bag of, like, fish or something. She was like a candy kind of
some
thing.
Some kind of candy. I don't
and
know
she spilled four of them out onto the desk and gave
Swedish
me Joe.
Fish? Was it Swedish fish candy?
It was like little things, just little round sort of things, and then spilled those out onto his dirty desk and then walked off, and that was it.
So, I enjoyed them. They were delicious.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Oh, it is happy also, birthday, Joe.
Don't try to jump in now, Sherry.
No, okay. I didn't have a chance before.
You don't get the thing on the coffee machine at your house?
and then also, it is internet. Is it international or just National Joe Day?
As far as I know, it's just national.
Just National Joe Day. It's a celebration of everybody named Joe. That's right. Third most popular Joe. Who knows the third most popular Joe?
DiMaggio.
Or number two on the list?
Joe Pesci?
Joe Rogan, number two.
Oh.
Joe Biden, number one. We'll have more Joes throughout the entire day. Plus, we'll be bumping in and out with Joe Music. Andrew's been working on that. So it all works out for you and your birthday.
Thank you.
And then we got this. We don't normally start with letters. And this is a very, very sweet letter. This guy has obviously been listening for a really long time, Sherry. And we're thinking we might get him on the air. RB and 360.
Mm-hmm.
And if I were to write a letter to a radio station or TV station, I think I would start the same way. Which is because as you're writing it, you're thinking to yourself, So it starts this way. John, I assume you're probably not going to read this. See, that's the way I would start too. Just thinking like, right? That's okay. I wouldn't expect 50% of the 72nd ranked podcast in Nigeria. I might be spotting you guys a couple to hear about every text sent in to 1-888-973-5-4-7-6. But I have to express this. Your occasional reminders of how precious life is has always resonated with me. I have been listening since the 9 o'clock days. Wow. I just want to say thank you. I try to enjoy every moment with my family. My family and I have just received a diagnosis of cancer for my wife. I pray that all will be well. We just started this journey. Your version of Newstainment, thank you, Andrew, for that, is extremely helpful for me as always. I just wanted to say thanks. And maybe, if you could, send up a little prayer to the Big JC for my wife, Shay. Before you lay your own natural moonlit on fresh snow hair that is growing naturally, head to sleep. I would appreciate it, sir. Yes, of course we'll do that for you. How about that? He's got all the references in there.
Mm-hmm.
He's been listening for a long time. Well, that's going to be a very, very difficult journey for your whole family. And I will say a prayer for her tonight.
Best wishes for everything in the future.
Yeah. That moment of, you know, we don't take ourselves too seriously. That's why we tried to do at least 17 fart sounds throughout the entire 4 hours. But if you get nothing else, somebody telling you, you know, that be in the moment, right? Present. You got no plans. What's that old adage, the old thing? If you want to make, you know, God laugh, yeah, tell him your plans.
Well, you make
hackneyed
plans.
Hmm? What is it?
God laughs.
Yeah.
God laughs.
Right. That's a shorter bumper sticker version. But it's true. It's like, you don't know, right? You don't know. You don't know. So anyway, RB in 306, we'll try to catch up. One other thing. I've got an important dinner tonight over at Daniel's. Sherry?
Uh-huh.
And I need the people over at Daniel's to make a big deal about me when I go in there. Should we call ahead?
No. Who are you trying to impress?
That doesn't matter. Just somebody I have to go to dinner with, and I would like to impress them. So I'd like to have a number of people at Daniel's come up to me that are working at Daniel's to make a big deal about me.
Well, I don't know that you can phone in a reservation for adoration. So,
Andrew,
I'm
can
sure
you do me a favor? Can you get someone from Daniel's on the phone for us?
Daniel's Broiler?
Yes.
Oh, what do you want? What do you want to talk to them about?
I'm sorry. We're going to Duke's. Never mind. Okay.
Well, I'm gonna
that would have been
for
hard to explain.
Duke's not going to handle that for you?
Yeah, they will. They will. We'll get them on. Okay. Yeah. Should we do some news, and then we'll take care of that later?
Sounds good.
Lots of stuff. All right, let's do it. So, Sherry, again, being Joe's day, Seattle media, beloved teens murdered. This is Joe puts this in here. So you heard the story a couple of days ago, body found on the side of I-5, and then another teenage body found in the I-5, and then, oh my gosh, who was it? You know, did they know one another? And then what was the cause of the death? It wasn't hit by a car. Listen, I think anybody that was sort of seeing around the top is like, okay, it's if they're kids and they're found on the side of the road and they're dead and they know one another and might not know, people immediately go right to probably gang related. But you're not allowed to say that in the city of Seattle. You're not allowed to say that in King County. In fact, they got rid of the gang, task force that the Seattle police had, and they changed it to gun violence reduction or something like that, because he said gang was that's kind of has racial tones to it, so, or, you know, Hispanic or Black or Asian, so, you know, there's not a lot of white gangs running around. There's a few in there, but primarily it tends to be in a minority community, so they get rid of the gangs. So now this story comes up where people are like, wow, look at this 16-year-old. Was it 16 and 16? Is that what the kids were?
Yeah.
Two 16-year-old kids.
Just beyond tragic, Mary. One family member tells me she worries that he was actually shot somewhere else and then dumped along I-5. She says just such a violation. Everyone that I talked to today, from the family to a teacher to a family friend, all talked about his positivity as well as his impact.
That handsome smile that just brightens up the whole room. He was a lovely kid. And when I found out about it this morning, it just broke my heart. Like, it was like I looked at him like a son.
Alicia Quinones is talking about 16-year-old Jahaz Phillips because his family is too heartbroken and too scared to speak out. What happened is still under investigation. But now we know on Thursday night, Jahaz was found shot to death in the northbound lanes of I-5. 10 hours later and just south of there, his best friend, also 16, was found shot to death in a ditch off the 85th Street on-ramp to the interstate.
A lot of anger because this is like an attack, and they literally, like, I felt like they searched out for them, and to be kids is just like, why go to this extent to harm kids? So it's really upsetting.
State Patrol says it's not clear where they were shot.
Okay, just get to it. Here's the thing. It's like, this is gang related, allegedly gang related, and the pictures of these kids. Where did we get the photo of the one? Was it on Instagram?
Safe
or something?
Seattle, I think, leaked them on.
Yeah, there's like a picture of one kid's got a gun. If those are the kids, if it hasn't been photoshopped in any way, but the best of our ability to determine, it's both of them standing there with guns. It's just like, And you know there's going to be retaliation because this is what happens, right? So the one kid's in a gang. And I get it. Listen, I don't put it. If I were some little kid, I'm 11 years old. I don't have a father. I got no one to look up to. I'm scared out of my mind because my older brother's in jail and my other brother's been killed. My mom can't handle all this sort of stuff. And you're either going to be on your own or you're going to be in a gang. You join a gang, right? Because you think, how else am I going to survive in the street? One, if I'm not in a gang, what happens to me? If I am in a gang, am I better off in a gang than out of a gang? Because everybody else is in some sort of gang. And even though the city of Seattle and all the rest of the people on the left that run the city into the ground hate the term gang, this is what it is. So, like, you don't want to call it that. Now, the fact that they were trying to pass a law 2 years ago, Sherry, that drive-by shooters would that be for racial justice purposes, they were going to change how they were going to be sentenced for drive-by shooting. Like, for what? I mean, that's the nonsense, right? If you really want to be a racist, you want to be a white supremacist, then continue with this mindset where you don't actually address the problem and you don't save additional lives. But this idea of like, yeah, we don't say anything. Look, those kids got caught up and they got shot. And I'll bet you that whatever gang they're in is most likely going to turn around and shoot somebody else on the other side. There are organizations that try to get in there and intermediate, you know, in many areas, in the middle of this whole thing where all of a sudden they say, listen, don't retaliate. Don't. Because if you guys retaliate, it's going to go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth.
Well, I thought a very telling sign was when the parents, or not the parents, actually, his mom had died a couple years ago. So he might have been lost in the system because he was, you know, without a mom. Who knows about the dad, you know, but they said they were too afraid to speak out. Now, if your kid just kind of randomly, sadly, got murdered, you wouldn't be too afraid to speak out. You'd want to know who did it, why they did it, when they're going to get justice, all of those things.
Right.
So I think that was an indicator of, he must have been involved in something.
And another alleged is that one of them was a suspect in a murder, which would, you know, would reason to be retaliated against.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know how you stop the cycle of violence. But they passed another law that you're not allowed to have a gun at the Seattle Aquarium. There you go. We're on a bus.
Oh, not just the aquarium, a zoo.
The zoo.
Right.
And nothing on a transit. Kids don't want a bus.
No, not even a bus stop.
So rather than having like a gun-free zone, how about a murder-free zone? This is so stupid. We have, I think we're 10th in the United States. Washington is with gun laws. And every time there's been a gun law passed, another like pro take away your gun group, you know, anti-Second Amendment group, you know, cheer and salute. Look at the numbers, right? We're heading towards, again, probably another homicide record. We got more gun laws. Keep adding more gun laws. I got news for you. People that are criminals don't care what law you pass. The only thing they care about is if you get caught with a gun and you committed crime, then you're going to go away for a while. So why not do that? Why not throw more people in jail? And they say, well, you can't arrest your way out of it. Yeah, you can. You can arrest them. You can put them in jail. You can have them do time and then do something while they're in there. I support this organization that's in Massachusetts, Sherry. And what they do is when you're in there, you know what they teach you? They teach you coding. They teach you programming. They try to get you some sort of remedial math and reading skills. And if you sign up for these things and you get A's and B's and you actually do the class and stuff, they reduce the amount of time you spend in jail.
Actual rehabilitation.
Yes. Something, yeah, because the rehabilitation is ridiculous, right? They let you out with like, $50 or $48 in a bus ticket? Where are you going to go? You're going to get on the bus and go back to wherever you were? You're going to leave you out there in the street again and you spend your $48. You're probably have $15 left by the time you get home.
Right. The reentry programs are vital to people being able to survive once they get out. And it varies from state to state how robust they are. And so it's really important that they have them. But a lot of people don't take advantage of them either. Speaking of the gun laws, that's not the only one that the governor signed into law, HB 2018. That's the one, if you remember, that requires gun owners to secure their guns, to keep vital records, all of that. 2021, the buyback program. when you have the state or the police or whatever it is buy back your gun, they are required now to completely destroy the gun because they don't want it sold off for parts. And like you said, 5444, that's the open carry thing. You can't basically carry a gun in a public place.
Mm-hmm. I love the fact there was a gun buyback program. I forget which state it was happening or city it was happening in. There's a big, big, long line. And, you know, the cops were giving you $20 or $50 or whatever it was, or a gift certificate. A guy shows up, gets like near the back of the line. He's like, you know, they're only going to give you 20 for that. I'll give you 30. He was buying the guns from the people right out of the line. He drives away with like six guns. People are like, yeah, fine. Right here, 30. Are you 50 for it? The city's only going to give you 20. Oh, my God. Nonsense. Nonsense. But again, how do you stop it? You don't stop it by ignoring it. You don't stop it by changing the words. You don't stop it by any of those things. You have to get in there and somehow give some kids some option other than joining a gang. And I don't know what that is. I don't know where that is. But by reducing laws, by not putting kids in jail, now by not holding them accountable for their activities, you're just teaching them this choice is not such a bad choice. And also, if you just know that everybody else in your life is going to go to jail, you're going to go to jail because that's just part of it. And if you have nothing absolutely to lose, you have nothing to risk, then just do it. Because if you don't, where are you? You're just stuck. But again, go ahead. I'm sorry, Sherry.
I was going to say, and you know, remember, prison for some gang members is a badge of honor. And they won't let you in the gang unless you serve time. So that's something that's not only not a problem, it's expected.
Right. What are they selling in the gang? Is it all drugs? It must be all drugs, right? What else are you saying sell?
Yeah, it's mostly drugs. I mean, some of them are organized enough. They have prostitution and sex trafficking. But most of them, it's just territory. It's where they're selling their drugs and making sure that people don't steal their customers.
Right. But any gang members, I know we have a lot of gang members listening to the show. Careful, there's a lot of new laws out there. So just watch your P's and Q's.
Yeah. Careful at the zoo.
Clutch the pearls.
That's right. That's what they say at those gangs all the time. Clutch the pearls.
Mariners group outings are a great option for all kinds of events. School family nights, fundraisers, office parties, and more. It's as easy as choosing a game and gathering a group of 20 plus. Start planning your outing today at mariners.com/groups.
If you've been thinking about surgery or even joint replacement, here's something to consider. Hi, it's Dave Ross. I've talked to over 100 patients of Dr. Mark Wagner, MD, and many of them have told me about life-changing results. Their words, after treatment at Seattle Swartz and regenerative medicine, these are people with severe osteoarthritis, even bone on bone, and they're back to hiking, jogging, playing tennis, skiing, golfing, walking up and down stairs, playing with the kids and the grandkids, and they're doing it without pain and without surgery. Dr. Wagner's 60-minute outpatient procedure uses your own stem cells, and because they're your own stem cells, they can help regenerate your own cartilage in your own joints. Dr. Wagner is a board-certified Seattle physician. He has over 30 years of experience, and he's performed over 20,000 stem cell procedures. And he's one of the few doing it the right way. So, listen to his patients, and remember, whether it's a shoulder, hip, elbow, ankle, wrist, or knee, before you choose surgery, first see Dr. Mark Wagner, MD. Get the facts. Then get back in the game at drmarkwagnermd.com.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Joe, where are you going with that money in your hand? Hey, Joe, where are you going with that money in your hand? I'm gonna find my woman, she's running around with some other man.
Being National Joe Day, as we come in and out of all the bumps, a little bit of Joe music. Well done there, Andrew. A Joe song. And, you know this one, Joe? This is an honor of you.
Jimi Hendrix cover, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's me, Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah, but that's not Jimmy.
This is somebody else covering. I don't know.
This is the Birds cover.
Birds one.
Oh, maybe he covered there.
All right, good. Wow, Clint cleared all that up. Just got the news that Lou Whitaker, legendary mountaineer, And Rainier Guy passes away at the age of 95. I had gotten an opportunity to interview him a long time ago. Guy was, if you want to watch somebody talk about in less than a minute, there's a piece on YouTube. Try to find it. He is take a bunch of people who's trying to climb. They're trying to a summit up to Rainier. And he's sitting there and he's explaining to them, listen, here's the key, everybody. We don't need to play it. I'll just tell you what he said. He said, here's the key. You're going to go as far up as you can go. It's not about summiting. It's not about getting to the very top. Know that while wherever we are in the next number of feet, you're going to be higher up than most people have ever experienced. So if that's important to you, you got that already. But it's not about the summit. It's about the journey. It's about what you learn about yourself on the way up and then what you learn about yourself on the way down. That's the key. That's the most important thing. So you are pushing yourself as far as you can. And it's not about the top. It's not it. Because if you'd say, oh, I want to get to the top and I want to summit to get to the then you feel as if you failed. You haven't. You go as far as you can. You push yourself to the point where you feel, you know, you're going to be safe, but you're going to be uncomfortable. But the top is not the key. Don't go for that. Go and push yourself beyond. You don't think you can go much further, go a little further. I'll help you every step of the way. And then we'll come back down and we'll talk about what we learned about ourselves. And wow, that is really a, you know, great lesson, not only in mountain climbing from Mr. Whitaker, but just in life in general. So Lou Whitaker, at the age of 95, really put climbing on the map in the Northwest and then throughout the world as well. And our condolences go out to the Whitaker family for the loss of a legend here in the Northwest and around the world. Lou Whitaker passing away at the age of 95. All right, Sherry, the Southern accent is going away. The reason the Southern accent is disappearing, there was a time that everybody from the South was migrating to the North. And then, you know, very few people were migrating back down to the South. But now, since more people from California coming in from the Northeast, coming in from the middle parts of the United States, moving down South to Georgia and to Texas, Mississippi, Alabama, that the Southern accent, which is sort of classic for a long time, which was actually a Cockney accent, and then it sort of, you know, mushed into other languages, but it started primarily as a Cockney, careful, accent. Look at Andrew. What? Now, the Southern accent is slowly but surely just sort of fading away. And it's sort of sad because I love all the different accents you can have in all the different parts of the United States. At Carnegie Mellon, the hardest thing was junior year, they had a dialect class. And this was, they used to cut you. They would start with like 35 students your freshman year. And by the end, by the time you graduated, they would have like 12 graduates from the Bachelor of Fine Arts program. And it was your junior year. You had to commit a piece of text to memory. And then you had to give them three dialects that you were going to do. And it had different parts of the country, different countries, and then each one being unique. And then they would call out. So you'd be in the middle of the text and they would call out whatever, you just switch from one to another and back all three of them. And people were just bailing out. People were like, I'd rather quit than have to be humiliated there during the dialect test that went on. So I think I had Warsaw, someplace in Ireland. I forget where it was. I forget the English. And then I had a southern one or something. And you'd commit the text and then switch back and forth. As you're doing the text, a two-minute piece of text that you had memorized. You could have done that. But, of course, we have a no-accent rule on this show, Sherry.
Yeah, be careful because Southern accent might be the next one to go.
Do you have, like, a monologue or something in your head that you learned back then that you could do?
Yeah, but I can't switch back and forth. But I had memorized The Snowman by Wallace Stevens.
Okay, can you do it, like, in a Louisiana accent?
Thanks, Joe. No, I don't know. Louisiana is a really hard one.
Yeah, it's very
really
unique.
Hard.
That's a difficult one.
Okay, what about just the, you know, Southern?
I mean, no, because all the Southern ones are so unique as well. I was going to get my friend Kay Lloyd on the phone. She's from Texas. Never talked to anybody from Dallas. Great. You guys are great, right? Big, wide, sort of like thing like that, right? Because if sure, if anybody says do a Southern accent, people just do a generic Southern accent for something, right? Don't you have one lined up?
Well, I mean, there's an article in the New York Times that talks about why these accents are so bad.
Oh.
In movies. And you know, even these British actors try really hard to nail down the Southern accent. But there's so many dialects and there's so many different kinds of accents within one region. It's only the people that live there, if the movie is being represented by, you know, if that town or the movie is represented by that town, they're the only ones that recognize it. So usually it's not that accurate. And they talk about Andie MacDowell, who worked really, really hard to get rid of her Southern accent. And yet there have been other actors that just kind of go with it, you know, that they don't really see that it's necessarily a big problem. And I know that who was it? It was.
Okay, we'll wait.
Okay, hang on.
No, go ahead. Go through your papers.
I read ahead, recently
Sherry.
That.
No, Sherry's gonna.
No. Stop. Matthew McConaughey.
Yes.
Holly Hunter, Kyle Chandler. They didn't try to hide their accents at all.
Yeah, I interviewed Matthew McConaughey a bunch of times, and where is he from? Is he from Texas?
I think, yeah, he's definitely
from Texas. Yeah, he's
Texas,
from Texas.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he got that kind of slow thing. I talk like that all the time. Yeah.
Right. So, and that's just one part of Texas. Other parts of Texas have a different kind of dialect.
Do you assume when you're talking to somebody who's got a Southern accent that they're not that bright?
Well, they bring this up, that the Southern accent is associated with someone being less honest, less competent, and less intelligent, which is why you get a lot of people not wanting to have a Southern accent, because they feel that they might be judged by it.
Well, that's because there's the archetypal guy there, you know, spitting out tobacco, and he's got the, you know, overalls on.
Either that or like the sheriff. I don't know what you're going to do, but yeah. I can do it in my town.
My friend Dr. Heath Miller, who's from North Carolina. He talks like this. He's like, you know, I can't believe. That you're like, what do they pay you to talk on the radio? You know, I'd tell him. He's like, you're not that. I went to college. I'm a doctor. Okay. I'm a doctor. I go, yeah, but you're like a Southern doctor. That doesn't matter. Listen, that doesn't matter. I am esteemed in my profession. I'm like, yeah, you sound like you have a hayseed stuck between your teeth when you're delivering the babies.
Well, so was he saying he makes less as a doctor in North Carolina?
Let me tell you something. He's always like, do you know what they pay? I'm a doctor. I save lives. I'm like, okay. Yeah, and he's always like, don't do imitations of me on the radio. He sounds like, I should get him on the radio.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. And I did once, and I never said his name, and then he said some woman called up, hey, John Curley's talking about you on the radio. I told him, don't do that.
Sure, his phone's ringing right
sure,
now.
Sure, I need you to get up on the table, put your feet in the stirrups. Have you had any problems down there recently?
Gross.
What? Huh? You don't want a Southern doctor?
No, I'm fine with. I like.
And
Southern
Sherry, I'm
going
to ask you to step up onto the table, put your feet in the stirrups. That you'd be like, that, certainly.
No, that'd be creepy. No, I think the Southern accent's really cool. I think it sounds down to earth.
Well, stick around. And we'll find out what accent Sherry would be willing to get up on the table for. Gee whiz, Sherry. God. This is National Joe Day. Come on.
Yes, Sherry.
Yes, Sherry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know what Joe wanted to do there. I thought maybe you were going to play a song or something, because Joe, it's Joe Day, and you know Joe Mama.
Graham died alone.
All right, Joe Mama.
If you've been thinking about surgery or even joint replacement, here's something to consider. Hi, it's Dave Ross. I've talked to over 100 patients of Dr. Mark Wagner, MD, and many of them have told me about life-changing results. Their words, after treatment at Seattle Swartz and regenerative medicine. These are people with severe osteoarthritis, even bone on bone, and they're back to hiking, jogging, playing tennis, skiing, golfing, walking up and down stairs, playing with the kids and the grandkids, and they're doing it without pain and without surgery. Dr. Wagner's 60-minute outpatient procedure uses your own stem cells, and because they're your own stem cells, they can help regenerate your own cartilage in your own joints. Dr. Wagner is a board-certified Seattle physician. He has over 30 years of experience, and he's performed over 20,000 stem cell procedures. And he's one of the few doing it the right way. So, listen to his patients, and remember, whether it's a shoulder, hip, elbow, ankle, wrist, or knee, before you choose surgery, first see Dr. Mark Wagner, MD. Get the facts. Then get back in the game at drmarkwagnermd.com.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts. I once had a friend, his name was Joe.
Joe sure was cold. You said I'll be a Mac. This is an idea we have, and then like halfway through, we're like, let's just screw this Joe thing. Just run it right into the ground.
Yeah, there's not many.
No. Well, Joe's doing an interesting job of finding.
I think I
Joe
have enough to get us
through. All the way through. Joe Jonas, I think, is one of the fifth most popular Joe names, too. Or most popular Joes, by the way, Joe. And this both, again, it's being your birthday, and this also being National Joe Day.
Your mama.
Yeah. The celebration continues here, Sherry, for Joe's birthday.
You know, you could include female Joes like Jodie Foster.
Good try.
That's cheating.
No,
that
shit doesn't count. Okay. Yeah, it's not gonna be this woman's thing in there. Don't try to jump in there with your woman thing.
Josephine counts though.
Wait a minute. It's either women or no women.
Well,
you got to take a vote.
You get Little Joe from is it Prairie Little House on the Prairie? Wasn't there a Little Joe?
For my time, I don't know.
Wasn't that one of them?
I think so, yes.
Thank you, Sherry. Fine. the first Neuralink implant recipient. So you're going to be able to... This is Elon Musk, the device that goes into the brain. Brain can send signals. The person is going to be able to... like they said, well, you can play chess and you'd be able to eventually move a cursor. If you're paralyzed, you're going to be able to make connections without using your hands, but just having your mind think of something and then using that as a way of
hands.
Using that.
Talk about thinking we were getting past something.
Wow. So the first guy, they think, oh, this is going to be great. The guy gets the thing in. He's like, oh, maybe he'll play chess or he'll do something really sophisticated and maybe it'll really take this to the next level. But
hello, world. How's it going out there? My name is Bliss, and I'm an engineer at Neuralink. And I'd like to introduce you to the first ever user of the Neuralink device. And I think you're my only telekinetic friend that I have.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah,
not many more of those out there. You want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name's Nolan Arbaugh. I'm 29 years old. About 8 years ago, I was in kind of a freak diving accident and dislocated my C4, C5, so I'm a complete quadriplegic. So I'm paralyzed from below the shoulders. I have no sensation or movement below my level of injury, so below my shoulders.
Do you want to explain a little bit what's going on here?
Yeah, so I love playing chess, and so this is one of the things that y'all have enabled me to do, something that I wasn't able to really do much the last few years, especially not like this. I had to use like a mouth stick and stuff, but now it's all being done with my brain. If y'all can see the cursor moving around the screen, that's all me, y'all. It's pretty cool, huh?
Actually, can you pause the song just for the audio
absolutely.
Coming through?
Uh-oh.
And that was also done with your brain?
Yep. It's all brain power up there.
That's crazy.
It's amazing. And he could eventually get robotic arms
right.
or anything else and be able to control essentially anything that digitally.
See, so and look at this. Andrew was able to find the music that was playing in the background and now play it here in our background. That's nice. Oh. What is wrong with the show today?
Yeah.
I think this is unbelievably cool.
Yeah.
I'm mad at Elon Musk because he had a lot of animal abuse accusations in testing this. Even the USDA was investigating him because it was so bad. But this, I think this is unbelievable for people that don't have the use of their hands. I mean, and that this could potentially help people walk.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's great.
You take an interesting stand though, Sherry, because it's like, would you, suffering of an animal for the advance of the human being, you think if there's some way to alleviate this animal suffering so they're not involved directly for the advancement of the human being, it would be a better way to go.
Certainly.
Obviously, yes.
Yes.
If you can if they could make all that work.